SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans and sales buyers. Just an unbelievable second night to follow up the highly successful opening night of the Saratoga Select Yearling Sale. Record-setting. Unbelievable. The hits just kept coming. Nonstop. Early and often. $1 million sellers, three of them, all by Medagliadoro. And undoubtedly, he and American Pharaoh, they get co-top billing. Clark Gable and Vivian Lee. Gone with the gavel. just when you thought, you know, things were, you know, had topped out, they just kept up. 875, 850, 750, 850, million. Sales topper, 1.3 million. Joe Murphy bred the filly out of Dawn Raid. That was the 1.3 million. Phoenix Thoroughbred. Going to go to Steve Asmussen. He was on hand. Then there was the 1.350 colt, bred by Windstar, who may yet jump back in West Point, and Robert Masiello. They get together for the sale topper, and the Medagliadoro colt out of Coco's Wildcat, one of the $5 million sellers. And last year's sale, we said yesterday, with Jessica Martini, two all of last year, five this year. But then from the top down through a nice thick middle, just amazing. In addition to Masiello and West Point, Sienna Farm involved, as well as Chris Larson. As I said, Windstar may get back in yet, being discussed. It was a pretty amazing 2 days. And given the emotion attached, if you saw Boyd Browning and if you read any of the coverage, Browning very emotional about what clearly will go down as the Bill Graves Saratoga sale that just put a glowing seal, more or less, his achievements and his brilliance as a evaluator of horse flesh. And, you know, coming in, you kept hearing, you know, what a terrific array of talent, you know, potential talent. I mean, from a pedigree standpoint and then from a physical standpoint, how glittery this group was. But then you've got, you know, the people out there that will make the final determination as to how desirable they are. And that bottom line, if we're going to do it with dollars and cents, $62,794,000. 18% increase from a year ago. The average cumulatively just under 370,000, second highest average of all time. You have to go back to 2001 on the average front. This was just a monstrous home run. And of course, the Keeneland sale and the Keeneland catalog came out yesterday. Keeneland will be a further referendum on the marketplace and the always important middle market and even the back end. But it sure feels right now, after the July sale and this sale, that demand, may be slightly above supply. And this is one of those equations. Sid Fernando, Sid, turn it over to him from 10 to 10:30, and we'll let Sid riff. He's got a bunch of stories and anecdotes and his experience the last several days on the grounds and the last two nights, where he thinks things are, based on a lot of conversation with breeders and consigners and buyers. We'll let Sid make some conclusions about where the market is headed and what it says coming out of these just two amazing nights of horse sale, as Boyd Browning would say. And the obvious players, Medaglia d'Oro and American Pharoah, that made this thing go. But there were a lot of supporting players, including just a eye-popping performance by Into Mischief. One of the things I always seem to just kind of gravitate toward in trying to kind of see where, what's going on, is the clearance rate. And 13 Into Mischiefs were cataloged. Every single one of them made it through the ring. Every single one of them sold. No private sales, no RNAs. That's amazing. And when you look at the numbers, 265, 460, 210, 950,000, 375,000, 750,000, 400, 275, 300, 295, 475, 300, and 450. Into Mischief. And an amazing assortment, actually, of buyers. Carlo Vacareza, Phoenix Thoroughbreds, Frankie Brothers for Starlight, Larry Best, Carlo again, Spendthrift, Mrs. Weber, Northeast, Croupy and Vinnie Viola, Croupy again, Spendthrift again, Nick Demerick, and Mike Ryan. So as pinhook prospects for High Dollar, Into Mischief, for End User, Into Mischief. That was a big performance to support the star players. This was the Leslie Howard. If we're going to go with the Gone with the Wind theme, we can identify each of the players, right? All right. Leslie Howard, very strong, Into Mischief. Honor Code. Honor Code with among the first crop, very good. The Leems Map had a good first swing under the high profile glare, and then the buyers, and we'll go through that with Sid as well. Phoenix was aggressive. Bob Lothenback, who I brought up yesterday with Jess Martini, Jack Oxley, who's just a perennial, and 2-year-olds and yearlings and breeding and unbelievable. And Donato Lanny stayed with it again last night and took three more to go with the other two that the SF Starlight West moniker was signing tickets for, including $600,000 on an Uncle Mo colt that Lane's End offered. That was out of Brilliant Jewel. So Lanny and the SF Starlight team, five of them, and then Frankie Brothers with another three. So Starlight, eight yearlings coming off the afterglow of Justify. It was amazing. No other way to describe it. And we'll let Sid, and we'll pick it up with him in hour two and get a lot more into the sale. And we're also going to catch up later this morning with Mrs. Nielsen, who, of course, bred yesterday's or Monday's American Pharaoh million-dollar seller. And Mrs. Nielsen, she'll be active, of course, again Saturday and Sunday. They'll clear out these open stock select yearlings and the New York bred select. Right? The New York bred. They'll be and with a sale like this, as strong as it was, and this was the same storyline from last year, there'll be plenty of trickle-down effect. People that, you know, came and wanted to get whatever, three or four yearlings, they only came away with two. They're gonna shop the New York sale. So we'll have more to discuss with Sid. We'll also take a look at those weanling to yearling pinhook results that are interesting. So plenty more from the breeding side, and a lot of fun. This group, this was a fun couple of days. Absolutely. The other news and the things we were watching yesterday. The Arlington Million, and we'll get the full card today for Saturday in Chicagoland, and 11 will line up for the Million. Oscar performance, your favorite, Drew Outside, Drew the 11 of the 11. A quick rundown, Circus Couture, Spring Quality, Almanar, Divisadero, Century Dream in from Europe, Catch O.N.D., Napal Chatterpole, the upsetter from Preview Day, 24-7, Money Multiplier, DeVille, Ryan Moore, Buick, Bill Buick's going to ride Century Dream, and Robert Bruce, the horse with two first names. And that makes me laugh, too. The good field for the Million. Absolutely. Absolutely good group. And Secretariat's got 13. You got 9 for the Bev D. Good, as always. Good card. It's always a highlight of the summer. Corey Nakatani's summer is over. He will have back surgery in the next couple of weeks and then have to sit out about 60 days after that. Herniated disc, and it's against his spinal cord. So they got to get that pressure off. Matt Nakatani, his son, of course, and his agent, they're going to go in. He said there's also some previous injury cleaning. So Nakatani and Giovanni Franco, I mean, it still feels like they both got away luckily, out of that nightcap incident Saturday at Del Mar. Nakatani diagnosed herniated disc and severe cervical stenosis. So he's got to be, he's home for now, and they'll get him on the table and straighten everything out. And then get back. So that's good news, more or less. I mean, it's still, you know, it's not ideal, but so be it. He's injured, got to take care of it. We got lots to do. Pete Fornatale will join us after the break. It's a big night for Pete. I'm confident he will not have his earbuds in or be staggering around. Well, he might be. By the end of the evening, he might be staggering. The TV show pilot will be aired tonight. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, the frivolity, the antics and the fun at the sales grounds are not over, because that's where they're going to unspool, to use a film festival verbiage, tonight. And there's also a nuptial gathering, a celebration of nuptials, a marriage celebration going on as well at the sales grounds tonight. So, should be a lot of fun. There's all kinds of things going on. Mike Blowen, yesterday at over at Avi and Rhoda Friedberg, got over there, and the Friedbergs are very lucky. They nice things happen to nice people, as they say, and they scheduled their brunch from 11 to 2, and literally at 2:01, the rain blew into town. Everybody was out on their little deck. They had a little band playing, and they were really good. And they had a magician who was tremendous. And then there was Haskins, part of the entertainment, a magician with the keyboard. Steve's been held in. Haskins held over for a few more days. He's staying a few more days. We'll talk to him tomorrow. But I was going somewhere. Mike Blowen, that's what I was going to say. There's the Old Friends fundraiser tonight at the Washington Inn. We'll get to Mike. We'll get to Bill Gallo. We've got a bunch to do. Just getting going. But let's start with Pete Fornatale next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is Express Bet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with Express Bet. And while you're at it, don't miss Express Bet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in on this Wednesday. The race week gets started. It's kind of threatening out, but it doesn't appear that there's anything more than some light rain expected. Not any heavy shower activity in the forecast. So it may just be a little misty, drizzly, kind of blech. But the sunshine will come flowing out for tonight's activities when it comes to Pete Fornatale and the contest pilot show that he's put together. And you may have seen some of the, you know, some of the cuts and some of the, you know, the preview portions of it on Twitter and so forth the last couple of days. And excitement is building. Pete Fornatale, good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve, and thanks for that nice intro. Indeed, the weather looks a little vaguely menacing, but we know how it works up here. It's entirely possible that the effects will be minimal, or we'll get lucky. And heck, we're inside anyway, so we're still hoping folks will turn out. As I've mentioned, anyone who's an At the Races with Steve Bick listener is invited. We did have RSVPs, but if anybody just asks you, I'm going to put down my name, you know, PTF, plus 100. So if anybody asks you, if you show up at the sales pavilion after the races tonight and anybody asks you for a name, you can just say you're in my crew, and they'll wave you right in and you can join us for a drink and to enjoy the fruits of our labor. This 45-minute television pilot for the World Horse Players Tour, just like a poker show, but with horse racing, complete with the first ever live bankroll final table. And I couldn't be happier with the team we put together and how it's all come out, especially Michelle Wilrich and the team at Sirica Productions. I mean, whether we're talking about the sound, the graphics, the coloring of the show, the flow of the show, it's really cool. And I think it's something that the industry is hopefully going to be able to get behind. We can bring some new people into the game and hopefully generate some money for all different corners of the industry. That's the goal anyway.
Give everybody the specifics again in terms of timing, and it's going to be a busy night actually on the sales grounds. There is the DeVoe Engordo party going on as well, but you're inside in the building, in the sales ring.
I'll extend an invite too to anybody at the show. Obviously, we don't want to cannibalize what's going on outside, but if rain is to come or anything, folks are obviously welcome to come in and take shelter and join us for a minute. But we will be getting started pretty much directly after the last race. I'd say I expect to leave before the last and be there around 6:15. I guess officially the start time would be 6:30, and I believe we will be putting the pilot on 7:45 feels right to me. Give people a chance to come in, chat, have a drink or two, and then sit down and watch the show about 7:45. Now, if you can't make it to Saratoga, which I'm sure many within the sound of our voices, Steve, cannot do, there's also going to be a live stream. If you follow the World Horse Players Tour on Twitter, at Horse Player, is it Horse Player or Horse Players Tour? I think it's Horse Player Singular Tour. Plus, I'll be sending that link from at Looms Boldly, JK from at UT Big Hair. You can watch it that way. So if you can't join us in person, please feel free to join us virtually. And we're really eager to hear the thoughts from folks out there in the wider world. We had a great reaction to the trailer, which you can find at any of those Twitter handles now. And we're hoping it's going to be an even bigger pop when we get down to the show itself.
Tremendous. And do we have an idea about pickup and about, you know, where things go from here?
Funny you should mention, just this morning, I plan on sending a link to our high-powered entertainment lawyer out in Los Angeles, Sean Clark, one of the people who definitely helped along the way for the World Poker Tour. He hasn't even seen it yet. Looking forward to getting his input and then taking those next steps. I as far as I'm concerned, the whole world is a possibility. I feel like it being 2018, there'd be something really cool. I definitely want to have conversations with some folks at the streaming services who appeared very interested lately in doing sports and sports adjacent type content. But, you know, traditional, we dream on the traditional networks as well. So that one's above my pay grade, so I'll leave that to the pros out in L.A. But I think he was very optimistic about the concept, and I think he's going to like it even more now that he sees the finished pilot.
Very nice. Well, of course, we're wishing you luck and a lot of familiar faces to the contest landscape. You'll see names you know and faces you know, and it looked fast-paced. You could tell, it was incorporating all the elements that make the contest scene, vibrant. And, of course, a perfect timing in terms of the start of this race week, Pete, with Friday and Saturday lined up for the Battle of Saratoga.
Oh, and I'm so glad you mentioned, for the first time this year, the Saratoga contests have moved to the weekend. It's two separate one-day events, the Saratoga Challenge on Friday, $1,000 buy-in. That's divided equally between your bankroll and money that funds the prize pool. Then Saturday, the four-star Dave Challenge. Same idea, but the buy-in goes up to $2,000 with $1,000 to bet on the races at Saratoga and $1,000 fueling the prize pool. Both those prize pools get paid back 100%. Here's the thing, though. If you want to play tonight at 5 o'clock, the Friday contest closes. And tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the Saturday contest closes. So make sure you get in touch with Dominic Labetti at Naira, D. Labetti at NairaInc.com, I think is the email. I'll tell you what, it's definitely in the article I have up on the DRF tournament site now. You could also find it at Naira. Dom will help you out and make sure you get in there. Don't get shut out. This contest, unlike some others, does not allow for walk-ups. So I know that's been a disappointment to players in the past, and I appreciate the opportunity, Steve, to put out the clarion call that we've got. You have today to deal with it, but you don't have beyond today. And I really think that the numbers are going to be super strong, and the contest action is going to be fast and furious with some terrific prizes on the line, including cash, of course, seats to the Belmont contest next year, the $12,000 Belmont contest, as well as seats to the National Horse Players Championship. Don't miss out. Get involved. Saratoga this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Excellent. Well, this is going to be fun. I'm going to pop my head in and to get a two for one. And frankly, we're going to talk to Michael Blowen later, who has got his annual fundraiser over at the Washington Inn. And that
is that tonight
starts
as well?
That is tonight as well.
Oh,
but it starts early. It starts earlier. It starts like at 6. So people can get over to the Washington Inn, pay respects, contribute, and still have plenty of time to get over to you. And there's a lot. I'm people think I'm kidding when I say that it's like a Gatling gun of activities.
It's one thing after another.
Yes.
It's one thing after another. The social scene is incredible. I wait for the day when we have a proper horse racing gossip columnist, Steve, to write about all the, with moles at all these different places, to write about all the things, Page Six style, because it's one social event after the other up here at the Spa.
Well, we lost Gene Stevens, of course. Gene, I think he was trying to fulfill that role with his paparazzi activity. Yeah.
amazing array of photographs in that man's career, that's for sure. I feel bad about missing the old friends benefit. Last year I donated a box of books, went and actually sold through the whole thing and just donated 100%. Such a great cause. I'm sad I won't be able to do that this year. But it's just hard because whatever night you pick to do it, you're going to be conflicting with something. So, at some point you just pick a day and you stick with it. I will be sad to miss that, though. And I love your idea, Steve, of some folks getting to potentially do the double, or in your case, maybe the triple of all three of these exciting events tonight. We look forward to seeing people. I'll also throw this out. At the track today, we've privately rented, JK and I have, the patio above the Shake Shack area. It's actually technically above the taco spot there. If folks want to come down and say hello, I would always love to hear from At the Races listeners and podcast listeners. Feel free to come by and say hi up there today. We're going to be, we'll be running back and forth a little bit just to make sure everything's going to go smoothly tonight. But at most points, one or both of us will be there. And both JK and I would love to talk to people more about the idea, explain more about our long-term vision, and of course, extend further invite to watching it tonight, checking out the live stream tonight, or I'm sure we're going to find a way to archive it somewhere. But we that's on the back burner. We want as many people as possible tonight to either join us in person or check out this live stream we're putting together.
Very nice. Well, in the meantime, talk a little about what went on. Kind of lost track a little bit since last week, since we spoke. The Spa opportunity, of course, is bringing a lot of people to town. That part of it, I was looking forward to. I can tell how many people are already coming in. I suppose I've been waiting for the opportunity too, for it to be appropriate to pay tribute to Brian Wagner. That should be done here in this juncture.
Oh, absolutely. Brian's loss is a tremendous loss to horse racing as a whole, to the world as a whole, and to handicapping contests in particular. He was a national, back when it was the National Handicapping Championship, a tour champion. I think that was back in 2009. He would one of the people who qualified for the NHC every year. It would have been, I think, 15 straight, I think, if not for the 2 years that he and his wife, tournament legend Judy Wagner, were ineligible to play in the event because of Judy's involvement on the NTRA board of directors. I want to write more about Brian because I think he's something that I just respect so much, somebody, especially somebody who comes from the world of politics, who is so good at building bridges across political divides and understanding that you can be friends with people that you disagree with. What a novel idea. And that's something that's really touched me in some of the tributes on the political side that have come out about him. And I think it's something that people in horse racing could really learn from his life and legacy. And I had the pleasure of meeting him and hanging out with him many times, most recently at this year's NHC. And just one of the good guys gone too soon, but not to be forgotten, and someone who I assume will be being honored further in the contest world as time goes on. And again, I look forward to the opportunity to talk more to people who know him. I didn't want to bother Judy in the immediate aftermath of this horrible news, but she is somebody I want to reach back out to and get a chance to have some deeper conversations. Brian Wagner will be sorely missed.
Very much, and our deepest sympathies to Judy. I wanted to get that in, and Pete. Otherwise, some other interesting pieces that kept you busy. I know you had your eye on this activity tonight, but there were some fun things to write about.
It's been a lot going on. I'm trying to decide today. I have two things I want to pick up the thread and run with. One is some of the qualifiers from last weekend. There was fast and furious action with a good blend of veterans like John Fisher and George Shute making their way in at the last minute for Saratoga. Also, a guy, a friend of mine from the New York beer world. There were a few of us in the beer world who also liked racing. So everybody, before I met Joe Ward, probably 10 people have told me, oh, you like racing, you have to meet Joe Ward, a guy who just did a racetrack regular, and eventually we did meet and become good friends. On him for years to get involved in contests. He dipped his toe in the water a few times, but he actually won his way on Sunday into the big Saturday contest up here. He was planning on coming up to Saratoga anyway. We'd already had our plans to barbecue, but now I get to chronicle his efforts in the Saratoga contest. And then the other big news, yet another honor, guy with maybe the best resume in all of contest play overall, an NHC Hall of Famer, Paul Sherman, winning the first half of this year's NHC Tour and just putting another feather in his already very full cap. I'm nearly certain Paul will be here this weekend, and I'm looking forward to a chance to talk to him about what it's like to be at the top of the mountain in terms of the respect of other players and yet to continue to be building on that. I just think it's fantastic, and any chance to talk to Paul, one of the people who really shepherded me in the writing of the winning contest player and was just so helpful, and it's so great to see him continue to have success. And I know as much as I've learned from him already, there's so much more to learn from the great Paul Sherman. So I definitely want to get at least a mention of that accomplishment in the pages of Daily Racing Form as well.
Nice, nice. And talk about the love connection. That was fun last week.
Ghostbusters Chris, my man, Ghostbusters Chris, another Paddock Bar regular and DRF tournament play regular, got engaged last Friday at the Paddock Bar. Super fun. His intended, a woman named Jordan from Australia, they met online playing video games and developed an intense relationship online. Met in person for the first time only just over 2 weeks ago at his home in Texas, and he had it all plotted out to lure her to Saratoga, which she loved upon first sight. And then he that same Shake Shack patio I mentioned before, he had the Will You Marry Me Jordan banner draped from there. He had a string quartet playing her favorite song, and fortunately, he told me going in that he was, he said he was 100% confident he'd say yes, and I reminded him, you know, this is the place where Secretariat and American Pharoah got beat, man. You must have had some palpable sense of belief when she actually said yes.
That's great. That's really nice. And if you haven't seen it, the story, racing makes a love connection. Too funny.
Had a lot of fun with that. The Paddock Bar crew has worked their way into many articles this summer. You know, everybody at the racetrack always says, I'm a good handicapper, but a terrible bettor. Read about my buddy, the Ice Cream Man, who I wrote about the week before last, I think it was now, and some of his betting, brilliant handicapping opinions where he somehow managed to snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory. It'll surely make you feel better about your play out there, listener. And the best part about it is the ice cream's literal. This is how he got into racing. He used to drive the ice cream truck around here in this community in the summertime, and he ended up with ended up on brakes or whatever going into the racetrack, got hooked, big Thorograph player, and somebody who really likes who really loves racing and deserves more than some of the ridiculous outcomes he's had, which you can read about in that piece. But yeah, come to the Paddock Bar today. Maybe I'll put the bullseye on you next.
Well, I appreciate that. And in that piece you wrote regarding Ice Cream Man, you used actually a viable follow-up question and way to wrap things up, which is, how do you sense the the current conditions and the flow of the meet impacts the contest players Friday and Saturday, because this racetrack has been, you know, mighty slippery for players. There was the outside closing track that kind of vexed people a little bit, something we rarely see here. And you know, then came the rains on Saturday ahead of the Whitney and a sealed track, and you know, Glenn Kozak's had to you know, seal it up tight at night. It's really been a little quirky. And when it comes to the turf course, we've had more given in this turf course through the almost, you know, the first whatever third of the meet, coming up on a half by the weekend. The turf is not like it's been in recent memory, where we've had, you know, baked mesa, basically. There's a lot of people. I mean, there's people, everybody seems to be treading water to a degree, Pete. People saying, "No, I hit this and it's kept me afloat." And, you know, I don't hear anybody saying they're having the best meet they've ever had. It feels like, you know, everybody is finding spots, but continuity has been a little elusive.
Very, very well put. You can see it in some of the, on the turf course, especially some of the variants they've had to come up with. You're having stakes races go on the turf, go 5 seconds or more slower than the course records. It is definitely not that baked out, insidey, speedy turf we've seen in last years. Well, typically we'll see it for a certain stretch of the meet when it gets dry. We just haven't had that yet. I mean, I think from a horse player's point of view, the best thing you have is, you know, your eyes and your ability to pay attention and look at what's happening in terms of when it starts to speed back up, doing more work in terms of looking on. I feel like on certain days, on certain courses, you haven't wanted to be inside on the turf, but really paying attention, following some of the right people on Twitter and trying to, you know, this is not, you can obviously fail with that depending on who you're following and what they're talking about, but there's plenty of good voices out there talking about the track from day to day and just trying to stay on top of it. And if you're a formulator user, making detailed card notes about what you thought on that day, because especially in turf racing, the type of ground you have can make such a difference. And there's going to be horses. Hopefully we're not going to be dealing with this nonsense all meet, and we're going to have a really nice last 2.5-3 weeks weather-wise. And then horses are going to be running back on it's theoretically the same turf course, but it's really going to be a completely different turf course. And to be able to know which efforts can be excused and which should maybe be downgraded, that's going to give you an advantage. And even though I agree, Steve, a lot of people have said, "Oh, I'm really just spot playing Saratoga now." Hopefully, as the meet goes on, we're going to be able to reach back in with both fists and get some, you know, up the handle and get some even more serious gambling done. And hopefully by the time it's all said and done, we will have some people talking about biggest scores of their life type opportunities. But I agree with you fully. It's been much more the spot play variety. And I've heard more than one sharp player say, "Well, thank goodness for Del Mar, because I'm not doing much here." And I think that the difficulty of reading the racing services, no fault of anybody, but just the weather is a contributing factor to that.
Well, Pete, it's going to be certainly a festive and special evening tonight. Enjoy the day leading up. I know it'll build to a fever pitch, and we'll see you later. And best of luck with tonight's kickoff.
Thank you so much, Steve. Great to be on here. Hope to see plenty of At the Races listeners at the track today at the patio above the Shake Shack, and especially tonight over at the Phasic Tipton Pavilion.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly, and as promised, I see the sun now peeking through, just as advertised. Very similar to what happened Saturday after the deluge, and then Diversify walks into the winner's circle, and literally a rainbow that stretched from the top. From the top of the stretch all the way to the back stretch. It was kind of nice. Made for some fabulous photographs, and same tonight. There'll be a festive crowd, and I'm looking forward to being there. Pete, thanks a lot.
Cheers, my friend.
Let's take a timeout. Bill Gallo is going to join us. And no, they're not jumping here today, taking 2 weeks off from the steeplechase action down at Monmouth tomorrow, the 1st, the 3rd, and the 5th at Monmouth. If you hadn't noticed this and said to yourself, hey, that's right, it's a Wednesday, but there's the 1st is not a jump race. The 1st is a non-winners of three, going a mile and an eighth. Three chase action opportunities down at Oceanport tomorrow. A maiden race in the 1st, and then another maiden, and then a handicap. And actually, some very familiar names, and a nice field size for all three races. You got nine in the first couple, and then 11 in the 5th. So we'll go over them with Bill Gallo. And there's another that makes me realize is another big, not only is there the jump races at Monmouth tomorrow, there's one of the social highlights of the calendar tomorrow as well, which is Mrs. Steinman's party. And that is always one of the highlights on the calendar. Let's take a break. Bill Gallo will join us next. Then Sid Fernando. Got Seth later. We'll handicap a little. Look at the Saratoga card. And, of course, yesterday, and if you were listening in hour three, we wrapped up with the Del Mar pick six sequence with John White. And we'll go back and we won't have scratches, obviously, when we get off the air at noon. But we'll had an opportunity to go through a little bit more and look at the workout report, and get some added benefit there, because it is John was right. It is a squirrely sequence, and there's races where it won't take much. Because if it isn't a favorite, it could be the sixth choice just as easily. It's that kind of a set of races. Back after this, we'll check in with Bill Gallo, do some chasing.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Listos.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back at the races. 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Sid Fernando ahead. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and a outstanding performance by Hill and Dale Stallions and the Hill and Dale sales team. And really, there were very few weak sisters in that sale. That's certainly part of the aftermath and the recapping. And rather than recapping, although we should do a little recapping, actually, with Bill Gallo about last week at Saratoga, and particularly fun for Arch Kingsley, who had a great week. We're away from Saratoga jumping this week and next, and Monmouth Park tomorrow, three jump races, the National Fences, transported down to Oceanport, and Bill Gallo will be transported to Oceanport. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I'm heading that way.
Well, Bill, explain again. I think we touched on this, but we didn't really forecast and let everybody know that there was going to be this detour, you know, down to the shore mid-meet.
Yeah, this was in our planning. We were going to take a 2-week break here in the middle of the Saratoga. Like everyone else, there's a bit of a inventory issue. You can tell by the small fields all around. But in our case, we kind of took a closer look at ourselves and said we really want to reduce our own program from 9 races up here to 6. And with those 6, as you know, the 2 novice stakes, the 2 grade 1 stakes, and then we have 2 overnight allowance races. We did not bring our fillies up here this year. We've been having a hard time keeping that group of horses together. So we abandoned the filly program for this year, and we'll bring it back up here to Saratoga. That'll give us another couple of stakes up here and hopefully another allowance race. So we'll get back to our 9 race program, hopefully, in the near future. But in the meantime, to fill that gap, we have a relationship with the Monmouth Park people who are going to host the betting for Far Hills in October. And with that relationship, they kindly decided to host some races this week and tomorrow, actually. So we've got 3 nice races. It's all connected with Saratoga because we have 2. We split a maiden hurdle there for tomorrow, and both of those winners theoretically should come back and run up here at Saratoga on the 29th, our last jump race. It's a straight never 1-2. And the complimentary race is in a little overnight handicap, and the first 2 or 3 horses in that group hopefully will participate in the last week at Saratoga. So it's all good. We're really looking forward to it. We had a lot of interest from our horsemen. 3 good fields. We split 18, 9, and 9 maiden split, and we've got 11 running in the overnight handicap. So I'm hoping to put on a nice show tomorrow at Monmouth Park.
No doubt. And this is always productive when you can run these kinds of maiden races. You get a couple of winners that'll feed into allowance or even some stake opportunities as summer turns to fall. Let's give a quick review of what's involved here and see where some of these stand, because I suppose there's a chance you could even see out of the handicap or even out of one of the 2 or both maiden races a horse come back up here at the end of the meet. So take a look at the first.
Yeah, we actually ran the distance, the 2 3/8 distance. We're going to try that. It's the same configuration, 7 furlongs at Monmouth. So it's just like Saratoga inner turf. So we set it up with 2 fences on the front, 2 on the back. They don't jump the last fence. So this is a primer for these maidens and certainly the maiden winner, both maiden winners to come up here. A couple of good fields. I just glanced at it this morning that certainly the first division, I'd say, is probably the weaker of the two. Just one of those things that most of the better horses seem to end up in that second division. Not quite sure. Jack Fisher has a heavy hand. He's got a couple of good ones on each side. Looking at that first race, I think Diana Former's request is going to end up a favorite, if I'm reading the PTs correctly. So I'd have to, I don't know how far. I mean, he could run 1-2 there. He's got Diana Former's request and Storm Team. Jack Doyle, the Elizabeth Foss stable rider, is hooked up with Fisher in this race, and he adds he's a big plus, that's for sure. Diana Former's request, going back 2 races, he was a real nice second at Middleburg earlier in the spring, and I'd have to think he'll get the edge here.
You know, it's fun. It's actually fun to see a Diana Former at all. This is from what the so if he was, this one was foaled. He's what, a 6-year-old. So this would have been, I think he came out of service in 12. So this is the 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So second to last crop of Diana Formers. And we just don't get to see him in the PPs as much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he came from, looking at his PP, he came from the Trombetta stable. Fisher's had him a couple of years now. And he looks very beautifully bred, obviously. I'd like to think he'll run well here.
Now, the second maiden race, arguably the
second maiden race, as I said, it's pretty stacked here. This horse, Belisarius, the Gary Barber horse, trained by Kate Dalton, he was very impressive at Suffolk in that mile and a half flat race that we ran. He won that. He beat Whitman's Poetry and Al Shiba. Al Shiba is in this race as well. But Belisarius, I think, will take the money. Should run well. Shepherd's got a really nice one. I know the barn's high on the horse, Junionia. And they pick up Jack Doyle. And once again, this horse ran at Suffolk. He was second to Swelligant, who's going to end up running in that fifth race. He'll probably be the favorite in the fifth race. So there's a lot of form here. And I think this is the stronger division of the two. And I think this can be one heck of a horse race here.
Looking at two horses to ask about, maybe even three. What do we know about the first-time North America runner, this special relation?
I don't know a lot about him. It's a very formidable stable, the Bruton Street Stable, the group that has horses with several trainers. Willie Dowling trains this one. First-time U.S. I don't know much about him other than he's young. He's a 4-year-old. And I know for sure that they're hoping to advance the horse and get him up here to Saratoga.
Sean Clancy and his River D, motivational, and you know, this feels like one that will break through soon enough. Certainly, he's got the kind of speed that works well on a flat track opportunity over the jumps, and I'd say the same thing about Forward Thinker, George Strawbridge, 15-1. And here's a horse that Bayard at Belmont, a 90, going back to June of 16, and some high 80 buyers. That's the kind of number power that catches my attention, and Forward Thinker might be a price underneath if he can negotiate the fences.
He's from the Valentine Barn. He's a very good trainer, and you're right. You know, speed matters at these flat tracks when we jump, and those buyer numbers do stick out. And, you know, he's obviously has the flat form. He's got to convert it to the jumps. He hasn't had much success over jumps. He looks like he's run three times over hurdles, sixth to fourth, and he pulled up in his last, which was back in May at Iroquois. But Valentine is, you know, got him pointed to here. And once again, the objective is very simple. If you're running here at Monmouth, you have one goal, and that's to get to Saratoga.
The fifth race is a $35,000 handicap, and this is a group that are rated 115 or lower. Explain the rating program.
It's something we put into effect a couple of years ago. We took it from the Europeans, and these ratings races are very popular in Europe, and they've become very popular here. And very simply, our horses, we have a three-person committee that I work with, and they rate the horses. They assign them a number. It's not a weight, but it is a number that corresponds eventually to weight. And the horses are grouped. It's in lieu of claiming, it's an excellent way to categorize horses. And we found these races to be full field most of the time we run them, and very competitive. So we're very pleased with it. Just to give you an example, a horse like Modem is towards the top of our ratings, and he's about a 146. So when you get down to the 115s, certainly those are not as formidable horses, but they compete together, and typically these races are very, very competitive. So horses rated from 115 or lower, and the lowest numbers we have now are somewhere around 100. So it brings together a good group, and then we adjust the weights based on what that number is. The 115, which is a Swelligan, is the highest rated horse in the race. And so he carries the high weight at 158, and we work down from there.
That's a great name, too, Swelligan. That's tremendous. Got to mention, since we have the opportunity with this group, some thoughts about Arch Kingsley's tremendous week last week.
I read the stories, and I certainly have talked to him several times, but he was particularly thrilled and honored. I mean, he holds Saratoga in high regard, and, you know, winning an allowance race was great, and, you know, the one he won before was the stakes race, so he was over the moon with both horses. He liked both horses going in, and they just performed to the top of their ability. Hopefully they're both coming back, but obviously the stakes horse goes right to the turf riders, and the allowance horse Boss Man, he's jumping into the novice division for the last, when we bring those both of those races back on the 22nd and 23rd. And he's stabled at Monmouth, in fact, Kingsley, and he can't wait.
The other name that caught my eye a little bit, at a huge price, Change of View, 30-1 for Catherine Nielsen, who's got some horses from Irv Naylor.
You know, Irv Naylor is a dominant owner in steeplechase in America. He doesn't particularly participate in Saratoga a whole lot in recent years. The Change of View is certainly, he is 30-1, yeah. And she ran him at Delaware for, looks like, number 1-2 for 16-1 last out on June 25th. Those little speed tighteners help these hurdlers for sure coming in here.
Well, Bill, I wanted to connect, and I can't guess that you've ever been out of town for tomorrow night's activity at Peggy Steinman's?
I think you're right. This is the first time. I was trying to hustle back, but I don't think I'm going to make it back in time. It's a 3:30 post, and they tell me the Garden State's going to be locked up on my way up. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pass on Miss Steinman's party. It's the best party of the summer up here.
Where's the NSA helicopter to ferry you back?
That sure would come in handy. There'll be a bunch of us on it, that's for sure.
No doubt. That's exactly right. Well, I wanted to get this in so that people knew if they were looking forward, and you know, people come up here, and it's a lot of times the only exposure they might have when they come to Saratoga to the chases, and this is an opportunity for those down the shore, and we'll get you back here, and we'll keep tabs and look forward to the last few weeks of the season, and of course the turf riders and more, Bill. So safe travels. We'll see you, and we'll recap and get a look at the bottom half of the season back here at Saratoga.
Great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Always a pleasure. Bill Gallo, everybody, and jumping with NSA and the action down to Monmouth tomorrow. Three races, the first, third, and the fifth, and gave you a couple of price ideas in there. We'll do some price ideas right here at Saratoga today, later when we talk to Seth. A little past the top of the hour, we'll get Sid Fernando in here. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Sid's recap of the sale, and he, of course, is talking to any number of breeders, any number of buyers and consigners and everything in between. More sales coverage when we come back. Hour two at the races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth